You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 14th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. And before we get into today's story, a few things. I am, because I've got other things I've got to do, I'm actually recording this show a few days before Monday for the sake of transparency. So if other elements of facts come out about what we're going to discuss today and they get omitted, that's the reason why, is because I am recording this a few days before. Now, as you all well know, I've been trying to do these, you know, get my feel for doing these Daily Nationalist shows in Sven's absence. And it's taken some getting used to. That having been said, one of the things I am discovering is the opportunity to cover things I probably wouldn't necessarily cover on my regular Parish of the Patriots show. And of course, the entire format of doing news stories and going through them has been a bit of an adjustment, so to speak. Now, I've continued to try to do the Friday tradition that Sven had set up of trying to end the week on something lighthearted. On the flip side of that, the Monday shows, I'm finding the opportunity to discuss more and more serious topics, and that's what we're going to do today. With that having been said, if you haven't caught my show for last Monday about where are the babies going, I really suggest you listen to it, because I think it's something really breathtakingly out in the open about something really, really evil going on. And I got to thinking about it, and you could look at that title and think, oh, it's probably another show about how white people aren't having enough babies, and that's not what the show is about. So if you haven't caught that, I suggest you might want to check it out. Humbly suggest you might want to check it out. Today's show, likewise, is going to be a very serious, sobering topic. And I'm not trying to start your week off on a down note, but I think it's important to talk about these things when you see these things happening. And where we understand, I mean, most of you listening probably understand a lot of the angles that we're going to talk about today. But a lot of the people in your lives, friends and families, co-workers, you have to understand those people haven't gotten the memo. They don't understand a lot of this stuff in the way that you understand them. And I'm hoping that perhaps by discussing this the way we are today, it might give you the opportunity to share some of this information with people so that they understand what they're dealing with and they don't get themselves into a really, really bad situation. We see this pattern time and again, to where conservatives, normie conservatives, whatever, however you want to say, regular old run-of-the-mill conservatives in general. And I've seen this where boomer conservatives in particular haven't gotten the memo. And we live in a society now where you have to understand that a lot of the things that a lot of us grew up with thinking we had, we no longer have those things. And that's dangerous. And what makes it dangerous is when you don't understand you no longer have those things. As an example, the January 6th people, you have these Trump supporters that went and attended this protest and got themselves. Now you've got people in jail. You got people having their lives ruined. You have people, now they've been smeared and slandered as insurrectionists trying to overthrow our democracy value of who we are, when they were simply attending a protest. The setup element is there. You know, we've seen the video evidence where the police are escorting these people around the Capitol. Also, a narrative can be created. that these people were in here just doing this violent mob thing. And of course, the fact that this was happening just basically adjacent to the BLM riots, where buildings were burned, people were killed, and it was utter chaos in some of these U.S. cities. You know, that can't go unnoticed. But yet you see that in this instance, in the case of January 6th, the regular run-of-the-mill conservatives, they didn't get the memo from Charlottesville. You see, because they believed the media, when the media was like, oh, well, you know, this is happening because these are evil white supremacists, neon Nazis, whatever you want to call it. And so they brushed that off and thought, well, it has nothing to do with me. I'm a run-of-the-mill conservative, Republican voting Trump supporter. But what they found out the hard way on January 6th is that it does apply to them. When you don't have freedom of speech, it doesn't mean just certain people. Well, you know, it doesn't mean that just certain people, little niche of people, don't have freedom of speech. It means everybody not parroting the official narrative doesn't have freedom of speech. Now, I'm not saying we don't have at least a fig leaf. We still have a little fig leaf of the Constitution, of these things. I mean, I'm sitting here talking with you on this show. But make no mistake, if you go out and think that you can do these things, you can have these, you can go to these protests or whatnot, and that the Constitution and the First Amendment is somehow going to protect you, you're operating from a position that could potentially get you in trouble. Now, it's possible that nothing will come of it. That remains possible. But what you have to understand is, if they decide to make an issue of it, they will make an issue of it, and you will lose. You will lose. In all likelihood, nobody will be held accountable. The media will walk lockstep and smear you as to whatever and form whatever narrative they want to about you. It won't matter if people close to you say, well, that's a lie. It doesn't matter, because who's going to hear about it? The media is not going to report these things. It's a dangerous situation when we live in basically what amounts to a lawless society. You always see this inversion with the way they speak. They talk endlessly about equity, implying like things should be equal for everyone. The inversion is they don't mean equity. They don't mean people should be treated equal. It is an anti-white agenda, specifically. An anti-white, I call it the anti-white race hate agenda, whatever you want to call it. You can't believe them. They lie. They speak the language of their father, the devil. I mean, they speak everything is in a lie. Everything is this inversion. Now, this is obviously a precarious situation. When you live in a society that is basically lawless, where there are no set rules and everybody simply follows the set rules and everybody can be just fine, that's precarious enough on its own. What makes this really, really dangerous is when you have people that don't understand that. Because if you at least understand that, you can conduct yourself in a manner to where, you know, you can take actions or speak the things you're going to speak with that understanding in mind. What's dangerous is when you have fools out here who think that the Constitution still exists. They think the First Amendment is going to protect them and they're going to have the freedom to say whatever it is they want to say. And this can often end in disaster. This past, I believe it was Wednesday, the FBI went to Utah and gunned down this boomer so that the media could have a narrative about a MAGA supremacist extremist Trump supporter threatening to assassinate Joe Biden. Now, we look at this story, and the reason I wanted to look at this story is this story got exactly here in the U.S., on the network media, the story got one day of coverage. The media talked about it one morning. MAGA extremist Trump supporting whites. Well, I don't think they said white supremacist, but you know, it's always implied that the two go hand in hand, even though to this day, nobody can actually tell anyone what a white supremacist is. They ran this story one day and the story vaporized. If this was some sort of credible threat to assassinate the president of the United States, you would think this would be a story that would have some legs. One of the clues here is the story ran one day and then they already moved on to something else. Also, I want to be clear. Look, most of what we're going to talk about today is conjecture on my part. It's opinion. Because I have no way to have insider information on any of this. And our only sources of information on it, by and large, are the media and the FBI. Now, I would be willing to guess that if you took an honest poll across America and asked them to name two specific entities that you would expect to lie to you or you don't trust the most, I would be willing to bet that the media and the FBI would more than likely at least fit in the top five, if not actually hold the position of number one, number two, maybe even be tied for number one. Who knows? So, well, this is the only source of information you get. I come at a story such as this as somebody who's old enough to remember Waco, to remember when Ruby Ridge happened. You know, they memory hold these stories, and people go around, they see these things now, and they act like this is a brand new thing. And it's not a brand new thing. It's happening, you know, it's happening in a more, maybe perhaps a more sloppy manner now. Perhaps they don't care if you know, but it's not something new. Now, the article I'm referencing today comes from Deseret News. I have no idea who they are, but it looked like a good reference. I'm not going to necessarily sit here and just read through the article. I'm just going to use some jumping off points here because most of everything I want to say is kind of all stacked up in my mind. But this at least gives us a bit of a reference point to go by. The title of the article is "He Has a Gun, an Eyewitness Details What Happened When the FBI Came to a Provo Neighborhood." Craig Robertson, come out with your hands up. This is the FBI. That's what residents of a quaint suburban neighborhood pushed up against Provo Canyon near the BYU campus say they woke up to in the early morning hours Wednesday. "It sounded like it was coming from inside my house," said one neighbor who asked not to be identified. What followed was a barrage of shots. Moments later, authorities carried the overweight, elderly man out of his house, placed him on the sidewalk, and tried unsuccessfully to render first aid, according to witnesses. Several neighbors said his body remained on the concrete for 2 hours as blood soaked through a white sheet paramedics had placed over him. Now, we're going to have no way of knowing if this guy actually had a gun in his hand or not. We do know from the facts they've released that this guy is dead. We also know from the facts they have released that no law enforcement officers, no federal agents were injured in any way, shape, or form during this incident. What we're going to know is this guy is dead. What we know is his life held enough meaning that they drug his dead body out, threw a sheet over it, and left it sitting there for 2 hours. There's no reason to do that. You sit here and try to say, well, they weren't disturbing a crime scene. The dead body is not a crime scene. They drug his dead body out and just left it laying out there, cooking in the sun with a sheet with blood soaking through for the neighbors to see. And get the body hauled off. Why did the paramedics show up? Take a look at me like, yeah, y'all basically ventilated this guy. There's nothing we can do. And then the paramedics leave. Why would they not load his body up and take the body with them to the morgue? Why did this not happen? And as far as I'm sure, and this is a little fuzzy and it's not really included in the article, is paramedics can't really, I don't believe, you know, they can, I don't know how it works in Utah, but they can't pronounce somebody dead. The paramedics can show up and say, well, there's nothing we can do for him, but you have to have the coroner come out and do an official pronouncement of him being dead. Normally, in a situation like this, they would load the body up into the ambulance, take it to the hospital, and the doctors there would pronounce the guy dead. But for whatever reason, this didn't happen here. They left the guy's body, they shrugged, and then they just leave. No, they just leave the body laying out there waiting around for somebody, I guess, to eventually pronounce the guy dead. There was no reason to do that. What would be the reason to do this? I'm not going to get into hypothesizing the reason for doing this. I mean, I can come up with any number of guesses. But the fact of the matter is, I don't see why this would be standard procedure. You would just, somebody would show up, pronounce this guy dead. I would think the paramedics would just put him in the ambulance, take him to the hospital, and the doctors there at the hospital would pronounce this guy dead. But regardless, the fact that they would treat a human life, this just, I mean, obviously not caring, like, at all, like not having any sort of respect for the dead. You know what I mean? Even if you thought, you know, this guy's a POS, I mean, you would have, I would think a normal person would have, like, I don't know, a bit of humanity to them, to where they would look and say, well, let's cover this up. We're in the middle of a residential neighborhood. There's people out here with kids. They don't really need to see a bloody sheet and obviously a dead body out here. Let's go ahead and, you know, move some vehicles around. Let's put up a tent, whatever, and cover this up. But obviously they didn't even care. They didn't even care about that. Let's go back to our story here. Neighbors say Robertson was shot and killed between 6 and 6:30 a.m. Wednesday, as the FBI carried out a raid related to his social media posts, where he made threats to President Joe Biden and other Democrats. Not long after the shooting, Biden arrived in Utah as part of a tour of Western states. I'm going to stop there. This guy, and we'll get into this. This guy was basically, and many of you, like I say, it's normal, I think. You know, many of you probably, you know, deal with normal run-of-the-mill conservatives in general, and you probably have some family members or whatever that are what I would say boomer conservatives. And I'm not being derogatory here. I'm not, you know, being down. I'm just saying you probably deal with and know normal run-of-the-mill conservatives and boomer conservatives in general. And one of the things you probably know is these people, as I said at the beginning of the show, they haven't got the memo. This guy was boomer gun shit posting on the internet. It's a pretty common thing. You'll see these boomer conservatives, and they will do this constant, you know, bragging about their guns and, you know, what used to be the bumper sticker way back in the day, they'll take my gun when they pry it from my cold dead fingers type of posting on social media. Now they'll post all this stuff bragging about their guns and their Second Amendment rights and how the government better never come for their guns because they're ready to make war on the government. And you also know, if you know these people personally, they don't mean any of that. Most of these people probably walked around and wore the masks. That's one of the things I found humorous during all this. You would have these people who would sit there and go along and do exactly what they're told. They'd wear the mask going to the supermarket because the government told them to. And then these same people would turn around and be like, yeah, well, they better not try to take my guns. It's like, that's the line. It's a pretty common thread to see these people recklessly posting on social media because, once again, just like the January 6th people didn't get the memo about from Charlottesville, these people haven't got the memo about shit posting on the internet. And most of you, most of us, we did get that memo a long time ago, and we understand. This is information that I think you need to share with these people. And a lot of times we can just look at these people and kind of shake our head and go, you know, I wouldn't do that. I think it's time that if you know people, if you're friends with people, you have family that are like this, you need to sit these people down and just be blunt with them and say, you need to take all that down. You need to point to this story and say, look, you know, if they want to frame a narrative, what this looks like to me is the government wanted a narrative that they could go with the media and they work together. It's one entity. The government and the media wanted a narrative of a MAGA extremist Trump Republican plotting to assassinate the president of the United States. This guy was just unlucky enough to be the one that got picked. Any number of people, you can go through these people's social media posts and you can pick one. And they're all recklessly posting this stuff. Why? Because they think the First Amendment protects them. And that's why I say this is what's dangerous. It's dangerous enough. It's a bad situation enough when you live in a lawless society where the laws are just used to punish people or create narrative. This guy lost his life so the FBI and the media and the government could have a narrative about a MAGA extremist Trump Republican. And quickly, as we go through this, that, you know, obviously turns out to be BS, in my opinion. But this guy was unlucky enough to get picked. A lot of the people you probably know, family members, friends, or whatever, that are like this guy that are posting this kind of crap, they could have gotten picked. They were just lucky enough they haven't gotten picked yet. These people are going around and posting all this crap about how many guns they have. And the same people will sit there and say that they're basically absolutely paranoid that the government is going to show up and take their guns, will sit here on Facebook and advertise how many damn guns they've got. Does that make any sense to you? Because it doesn't make sense to me, except to understand that they still think the rule of law somehow applies to them. They still imagine that if the government wanted to come after them, they could get a lawyer and they'd walk into court and their lawyer would say, look, Your Honor, my client is simply exercising his First Amendment rights. And it'd be like on Perry Mason, you know, and the judge would say, prosecution, what's your point? And they would say, well, we really don't like him doing that. This case is obviously a violation of the First Amendment. I dismiss this case. And the defendant would just simply walk free. And that's not the way it works. Robertson had been under FBI surveillance for a number of months, according to a federal criminal complaint filed on Tuesday. He was charged with making interstate threats, making threats against federal law enforcement, and making threats against the president. If you think this is the only guy that's being monitored by the feds, I got a bridge in the desert to sell you or whatever. Is it any number? They've got a profile on any number of people. Again, this guy was unfortunate enough to get picked. I hear Biden is coming to Utah, digging out my old ghillie suit and cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle. Welcome, buffoon in chief, Robertson wrote on social media. That's what I mean. And as we get into this, you can sit there and go, yeah, that's kind of, you know, you really shouldn't post that. You just cringe, you know. But as we get through this, it's obviously this guy was no threat. And in my opinion, and I think that becomes pretty evident as we roll along here. But that's what I mean. These people are posting stuff like this. And you ask, well, why would you post that? It's interesting to me, too, with the level of censorship on social media. I have no social media. You couldn't pay me to have a social media. I want to know part of it because I understand how this works. This guy's posting stuff like this. He's not posting stuff like this, in my opinion. He's not posting stuff like this because, you know, he's really planning to go threat. If somebody's planning to really do something, if this guy was really planning, for instance, to go assassinate Joe Biden, which again, I think here pretty soon it'll become aware that that wasn't the case and wasn't even physically possible for this guy. If a person was really planning to do that, they're not going to be posting it all over social media. They're going to be sitting there being invisible, undercover, you know, flying under the radar as much as they can while they put their plan together. This is just some old boomer shitposting that doesn't know any better. He was probably sitting around the day before checking out his social media because he probably couldn't do much else and patting himself on the back because he got 24 likes for his edgy posting. With a level of censorship, this guy wasn't banned. Now, if we know how much people's postings are regulated, you know, are censored by these social media companies, be it Twitter, Facebook, you know, whatever. And yet, this guy was a fan. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? We know from the Twitter files that the feds were going around giving lists to the social, and there's no reason to think they don't still do that. they give lists and sometimes with accounts with like no, like almost no or no followers on it, they would be popping. We want this guy banned. We want this guy banned. We want this guy banned. There's no reason to think they aren't still doing that. So they say in the article here, they spent 5 months monitoring this guy and nobody at the federal level went to social media company and, or yeah, the social media company and said, we want this guy banned. They ban people for just the little, you know, the smallest disagreement with the narrative. People get banned. This guy's under a federal investigation and he's supposedly got this dangerous plot to assassinate Democrats. And yet none of these feds ever asked the social media companies to ban this guy. He's just allowed to just go ahead and shitpost about putting on his ghillie suit and getting out his sniper rifle. And somehow this is just flying under the radar. The social media companies didn't catch it in time to ban him, you see, even though the guy's being monitored by the feds. Neighbors who spoke with the Desert News described Robertson as a markedly different person than what he portrayed online. One person called him a teddy bear known for his woodworking, who would sit in the same seat at church every Sunday. Another said he was barely mobile, weighed nearly 300 pounds, and was unable to walk around without a cane. He would drive to church, despite it being only about 200 yards from his home, because he had so much trouble moving around. So this 300-pound boomer, who couldn't get around without a cane, he was going to put on a ghillie suit, set up a sniper outpost, and somehow take out the president, or go to New York City to take out Alvin Bragg or whoever else. Anyone in the world can see this is just boomer conservative shitposting on the internet. And it's pretty cringe shitposting, but you shouldn't be executed for shitposting on the internet. The FBI spent 5 months investigating this. And at no point was he banned. At no point was he shut down. They knew that this 300-pound dude, I mean, come on, you would have to know this 300-pound guy doesn't have any way of carrying this out. Now, he's 300 pounds. He has to walk with a cane. I read in other articles that he went to church every Sunday. And this really, one of the things that struck me is how this mirrored in some ways Waco. As I said at the beginning of the show, I was alive. I remember when Waco happened. When Waco happened, because a lot of you might not have been alive or you may have forgot, when Waco happened, the Congress was actually would still sometimes do some things, unlike they do now, where they just hold hearings and let the president basically run everything by diktat. But at the time, the Congress was talking about disbanding and abolishing the ATF because, you know, what do they do? They were like, why do we fund the ATF? They don't do anything. And what they do, the FBI could just do. So why do we have this redundant agency left over from the era of Prohibition? Maybe we ought to get rid of it. Well, of course, the ATF doesn't want to be disbanded. So they put on this big show and they did this big hut, hut, hut raid on the Waco compound of David Koresh. I remember when it happened. I saw it live in the local news. They pull up in these gooseneck stock trailers with wood up in there so you can't see what's in there. Like somebody would put wood up there if they were hauling cattle around. And then all these guys in their tactical gear jump out doing their hut routine. And these people started shooting back. And they got all shot up. Of course, we know how that ended. The government came in and burned them all alive. Women, children, everybody just went ahead and killed them all. And at the time, the local sheriff said, well, the guy come to town like twice a week. If they wanted to talk to this guy, they could have just called me up and I'd have just drove out there. I mean, I went out there and talked to him all the time. Or I could have just, you know, when the guy came to town, I could have come in and, you know, walked up to him and said, hey, I need you to come in. These guys want to talk to you. There was no reason to do a hut-hut raid on this guy. Likewise, if this guy was some sort of threat, this 300-pound guy who couldn't even move around without a cane, couldn't go 200 yards to church without driving because he's so fat and old, and probably knees bad and whoever the hell knows what else, would it not make sense that the FBI could just wait till he went to church on Sunday and then like when he's waddling out to his car with his cane, they could have walked up on him and said, hey, we're going to have a little talk with you here. Why would they not do that? They roll up on this guy's house, according to this article, at about 6:30 in the morning. And from what I've seen on news coverage and such, they essentially start throwing flashbang grenades through his window and screaming at him. They say that the guy was half-dressed when they drug his body out, which could imply that he wasn't even up yet. He wasn't even out of bed. Now, if you're asleep, or even if you're not asleep, say you just got up, it's not even necessarily daylight yet. I don't know if it's daylight in Utah at 6 o'clock in the morning. I would assume it's probably not. And all of a sudden you hear bang and your window's breaking out and people are screaming. You probably are going to waddle over and grab your gun. I mean, that's going to be probably your first reaction. Of course, it doesn't matter in this case. We know no FBI agents were harmed, injured, wounded in any way, shape, or form. And this guy gets gunned down. I mean, if you wanted to set up a situation for the most violent outcome, I can't imagine a way you would do this. Sort of like when they do these no-knock raids on people. It's like they claim it's for officer safety, and it's like, to me, it seems like the most dangerous way to pretty much guarantee there could be a firefight. Show up and start blasting somebody and screaming through megaphones, and people are confused and they don't know what's going on. And you know, supposedly, that he's got all of these guns, when you could have just rolled up on him with like two agents when he was waddling with his cane out to his car after church and said, dude, we're going to have a talk with you about your shit posting on the internet. But they did not do that. And I don't think it's unreasonable to say that just like the ATF needed a narrative to justify their continued existence, which apparently worked, by the way, because they're still around, just like the ATF needed a narrative back in the 90s with Waco, they wanted a narrative of a MAGA extremist Trump supporter who's a threat to our democracy and going to assassinate the Democrats to run with. And so, because again, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't just walk up to this guy when he's coming out of church with his cane. Well, I don't know why you would do this like pre-dawn rage screaming in his house unless you wanted it to end this way. This old guy couldn't really get around. Assuming that he was living by himself and he was bored and he discovers social media and he can get quote unquote likes for posting edgy boomer tier gun stuff on the internet. And, you know, that was his entertainment. I think it's pretty safe to say this is a form of entertainment for the guy. He probably dismissed any thoughts, if he had any thoughts at all. And again, this is just speculation on my part. But he probably dismissed any thoughts of a consequence from this, thinking, well, you know, they would know I'm not really going to do anything like this. They could do a background on me. No, I'm not going to do anything. Or they could just show up and ask me and tell them I'm you know, obviously not really planning to do that. As I said before, as we get ready to wrap up, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because you probably know people like this in your life. And we do all tend to have a tendency to shrug and shake your head and just kind of go on. And I think it might be worthwhile to tell these people, at least to tell them, if they blow you off and decide, you know, you're crazy and tell you you're crazy and decide to keep going, then so be it. You know, you did your part. But I think you'd be well served to at least tell these people that they shouldn't be doing that. Maybe point out to them, if you think the government's going to come for your guns, maybe it's a bad idea to constantly gun post on social media and advertise what you have. Point to this story and say, look, if they want to pick you to create a narrative, they will do that and you are going to lose. You're going to lose. This is going to become more important as things go on, in my opinion. The way this is going to play out, as the U.S. empire continues to collapse and as they lose the ability to dominate on the world stage, this is why I see these things as not separate things, domestic issues versus foreign policy. as they lose their influence, and you've got more and more countries in the world now flipping them off and saying, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to go on and go our own way. And as they lose this ability to bully everyone in the world around, and eventually probably officially lose World War III, what they're going to do is just going to be like a guy that's a real asshole who has a bad day at work and then comes home and kicks his dog, punches his wife in the mouth, and then beats his kids and locks them in a closet because he's angry because he doesn't like his boss at work. I think when they lose the ability to bully everyone else in the world around, they're going to come back home, and for a time, and it's going to be a relative short time, I think, they're going to essentially bully the population here in the country. It's going to be primarily white people that are getting bullied because, you know, they have this anti-white race hate agenda that just seems to, you know, I mean, it's pretty much out in the open. I don't know how you don't see that, but they are. They're going to bully the domestic population and make everybody in the country as miserable as possible. And they're just going to really clamp down. It's like if they can't go over and bully somebody on the other side of the world, well, they'll come home and kick the dog, beat the wife, lock the kid in the closet after beating the shit out of them with a brick or something, you know. But then eventually, you know, leave you with a white pill. I think eventually, though, what happens is the people start not complying. You wind up putting more and more and more rules, and pretty soon people just, you know, the rules they can get away with, and they start not complying, and then more and more people start not going along with it, and it becomes unenforceable. My show here a while back, my Parish of the Patriot show, revisiting the COVID thing, I pointed out the mask thing. When you look back at the mask thing wasn't by and large enforced by the government. It was enforced by your fellow citizens, by your fellow community members who would shriek at you in the supermarket that you don't have your mask on. It wasn't the government showing up and doing it. They were depending on the other people, your fellow citizens in society, enforcing it. And by and large, that worked. But when they really get oppressive at home, they're going to have, at some point, fewer and fewer people are going to go along with that. And as more and more people quit complying, then just like you have other countries in the world start flipping them off and saying, we're not going to do it, you're going to have large segments of the population domestically eventually will start refusing to go along with it. And I think at some point in time, it all breaks down. Now, that's all just, you know, crystal ball, the looking in the future of what I would consider fairly likely outcomes. But the part I think to focus on is they're going to get more oppressive at home. You know, you would advise your conservative friends and family members to get off of social media. If you are going to be on social media, you better be sticking with benign topics about your regular hobbies that don't include guns. Just regular hobbies and talking about, I don't know, your family vacation or whatever the hell people talk about on these platforms. Tell them to quit posting, you know, quit trying to be edgy among your boomer conservative friends and sit there and go, yeah, you know, you need to stop doing that. Because if they don't, you can see here what one of the really tragic outcomes could possibly be. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Again, as I said earlier, if you didn't catch last Monday's show, it's kind of also another somber topic about infant farms that are going on in the Ukraine and these foreign companies that are running them. It's a very sinister thing that's going on. It's important to understand the depth of the evil that you're dealing with, Hiller. You're not dealing with simply misguided people that have good intentions. You're dealing with a very, very deep and sinister level of evil. And the best, you know, the Bible says when evil days come, a wise man hides himself. You want to get away from that as much as you can. You don't want to get in front of it because you're liable to get run over. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you'll check out my Parish of the Patriots show. It'll be tomorrow on Tuesday if you don't normally listen to that. And of course, as always, I hope you'll check out all of our great content here on Radio Albion. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.